Well, good afternoon to each of you. We appreciate you tuning in here tonight through our Facebook broadcast and trying to get the gospel out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate those that listen each time that we do this, and many of you make comments, and then I get private messages, and I thank you for that, and appreciate people listening and praying for us here at Grace Baptist Church, that God would continue to bless and help us in these days in which we live. We are certainly living in troublesome times and terrible times, but we have a Lord in heaven that knows all about that. He takes care of our needs, and he helps us in every situation of life. I'm coming to you today at a little bit different time. I'm not home here this Wednesday. We had to go up to my daughter's, and she had a procedure today, and so we're taking care of our broadcast ahead of time. And so we thank the Lord for opportunity to do this, and thank God that everything works out well and always works out for the good of those that love the Lord. Do pray for my daughter. She has kidney failure. She's on dialysis and had to have a procedure today on her port to make sure everything was working well. And if you would be praying for her, that she might get a kidney transplant very soon and get off of the dialysis and get back to a normal life that she had before this. Had no reason for the kidney to stop. The doctors cannot tell her anything as to why, but her kidneys are not functioning hardly at all, both of them, and so she's on dialysis twice a week, and we're just praying the Lord would supply that need very soon, and we know that he'll do it in according to his will and in his time. But if you would pray with us about that, and we certainly would appreciate that, and thank you. Here on Wednesday, we always try to have prayer time and ask the Lord to bless and to help, and remembering those that are sick and those that have needs in their life. And so let's bow for prayer, and then we'll have a message tonight. I pray it'll be an encouragement to you and a help to you in your personal life. Our fathers, we bow to you. We thank you tonight for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the good things you do for us. We thank you for everything that you do is good. And Lord, you make no mistakes, and we know that, and we realize that, and we learn to trust you, and we follow your direction and your will in our personal life. We do pray for those that are sick. We pray for the needs that people have physically, spiritually, socially, even financially. We ask God that you'd be with them. We pray for our country, dear Lord. We need a move of the Lord. We need a moving of God. We need a great awakening in the lives of people that know you not, and we need revival in the people of God. Revive us again, O Lord, would be our cry and be our call. So, Lord, bless tonight as we open the Word of God and take the Scripture, and I pray there'd be an encouragement and help to everyone that that listens to this service. Thank you for your blessings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Wednesday night, we dealt with the subject of prayer, and I looked at four or five different types of prayer that we have for ourselves. We used the passage of Scripture in the book of James, chapter 5. And I want to go back to that passage tonight, and then we'll turn back into the book of, in the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel. And we're going to look here again in verse number 16, the latter part of it, and verse 17 and 18. And the same verses we used last Wednesday night, but we'll look at them a little differently tonight as we open the Scripture. So James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the last part of that verse says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Here is this subject once again of prayer. And the illustration or the example that God gives to us is the man by the name of Elijah. We find many things in the Old Testament about Elijah, and a great man of God, had the power of God upon him, followed the direction of the Lord in his life, and God blessed him abundantly and used him to show and to prove that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the true and living God, and he showed proof of that to even the heathen of his day and his time. I believe we can do the same thing. I believe we can show forth how God is our leader, how God takes care of us, how God provides for us, how God even fights our battle. Thank the Lord he can do that and does that for us. So we'll turn back now to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17 and chapter number 18, have the an account of this man Elijah that had some tremendous happenings in his life. Wasn't all of them easy, but they were all good for him and good to him from the power and the presence and the will of God in his life. I want us to notice the subject that we read, or the verses that we read there in James chapter 5. It says, Elijah prayed and it rained not. He prayed again and it rained. And so here we find a man that had the power of prayer in his life that God answered and God did for him, and God blessed him with the answer of prayer in his life. Elijah prayed and it rained not. That's found in chapter 17, verse number 1. Later on, it says Elijah prayed and the fire failed. You know the story how that Elijah was in confrontation with the prophets of Baal, and we'll read that prayer in a moment. But when he prayed, the fire of God fell and consumed the offering that was placed there. And then in chapter 18, verse number 42, just soon after that the fire fell, Elijah prayed, and then it rained. And so tonight I want us to look at this man, Elijah, and his power that he had through prayer, and the power that God gave him and the answer that God gave him through his prayer life. He prayed for a revolution. He said, Dear Lord, we need this from God. He wasn't praying for revival. He was praying for God to deliver, for God to have a revolution in his homeland and his people, that they would no longer follow after Baal and no longer follow after the wickedness of their day. For you see, Ahab was one of the kings of Israel. And the Bible says he was one of the most wicked of all the kings that ever served as king of Israel. And he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than any other. And here's the man that came in confrontation with Elijah. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17, says, It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? So here's the king, this wicked king. He sees he sees Elijah, and the first thing he says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? For you see, Israel was in dire straits. They were in the midst of a famine, and they had no food and had no water because Elijah prayed and it rained not. And so they were under the result of the judgment of God upon them. And when this political leader, Ahab, the king of Israel, saw Elijah, he said, Are you the one that's troubling Israel? Now, you'll notice the answer that Elijah gives back to him. He says in verse number 18, Elijah answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, therefore, and he gives him direction what to do. So here's the king, and he accuses the man of God to be the problem. You know, we live in a world today, sometimes people, they blame the Christians for the problems. They blame people that try to live right and try to live holy. All of a sudden, we're the ones making the trouble. We're the ones that's the problems, and we're the troublemakers. And that's exactly the way Elijah was spoken to. That's the way Ahab met Elijah and said, Are you the one that's troubling Israel? Elijah didn't back down one bit, and he said, It's not me that's troubling Israel, but it's you and your father's house, for you have, the scripture says, you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Balaam or Baal. And so here we find that Israel was resisting the word of God. They had deserted the way of God, and they were neglecting the work of God. And Israel was far away from the Lord, and God put a man by the name of Elijah in front of them, and he came out preaching and came out presenting to them the judgment of the Lord upon them if they did not turn to the Lord. And so when Ahab meets him, Ahab says, "You're the one. You're the one that's troubling Israel." And Elijah says, "Not me, but it's you." What a strong countenance Elijah must have had to stand before the power that was there before him, the king of all of Israel. And he said, "You're the one that is troubling Israel because you've departed. You've gone away from the commandments of God. You've followed after Balaam or Baal. You're following after false gods, and you're the problem." And so here we find that Elijah has to come to face with this wicked king, and brings him to the point of realizing that it's not me, but it's you. And of course, Elijah is in trouble for that. And we know the story. And later on, they have the confrontation between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And he prays a very simple prayer. In 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 36, "It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said," here's his prayer, very short, very simple, very to the point, but thank God the Lord answered. And he said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." And the very next verse says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering." Here we have the man of God, Elijah, standing before the prophets of Baal. Of course, the subject matter was, whoever answers by fire, whichever God answers by fire, is the God that we're going to serve. And they said, if it be Baal, then you're going to serve Baal. And if it be God, we'll serve God. And so they had gone through their ritual and their whole day of cutting themselves and crying out to Baal. And of course, there was no answer. You're not going to get an answer from an idol. You're not going to get an answer from a false god. You're not going to get an answer from a rock. You're not going to get an answer from an animal. You're only going to get an answer from the God of heaven. And Elijah brings them to the point, says, "One of us is going to come across here today, and one of us is going to be the winner." And I think Elijah realized, and he knew the power of God, and he understood that God was going to answer his prayer. All of us tonight, I'm sure we can go back in our life and remember times that God has answered our prayers, that God has done something special for us. I'm not talking about prayer that everybody's praying or something that everybody's praying about, but a very personal prayer of our own life, our own heart. Nobody else maybe knows anything about it except God, and God answers our prayer. It's a wonderful thing to know that God answers, God hears my prayer. It's a wonderful thing to know that God will hear and answer your prayer. And so we find here the confrontation, and the purpose of this prayer is because Israel was destitute. Israel was in a terrible condition, physically, spiritually, every way they were destitute. They had no bread, they had no water, and all they had was what few things they could scrape up. And Elijah was being taken care of by God. If you read in the chapters before, Elijah was taken care of at the brook. Elijah was taken care of at a widow's house. Elijah was taken care of primarily and totally by the Lord God of heaven. While everybody else was suffering, Elijah was being provided for. And things that were given to him came from the Lord. And now he has come to this point that there is going to be an answer. We're going to find out who the real God is. We're going to find out if it's Baal. If it's Baal, we'll serve Baal. But if it's God, you're going to serve God. And so they were destitute. They were in desperation. They had nothing to fall back on, nothing left. And now they turn to Baal. And they cry out to Baal. They cry out to that false god that had been introduced to Israel by Ahab and Jezebel, and even the father's house before them, how they were wicked against the Lord and despised God and despised God's people, and they're in leadership. You know, it's good when good people are in leadership. My, it's bad when bad people's in leadership. And there was Ahab, and his wife was wicked Jezebel. It's bad when a bad man rules, but it's bad when a bad man and a bad woman rule together against the Lord. And God raises up Elijah that we read about in the New Testament as that example of a fervent, righteous man praying to God for the answer, that God would give him the answer in the time of destitution and desperation. But there's going to be a decision made today. Who is the real God? Who's going to take care of this? Who's going to be the one that we serve? And so he comes, and they have their day of foolishness. You know, religion today is many times very foolish. The things they do that they say is all because of the Lord, and it's very foreign from the things of the Lord. And they go through their ritual, they go through their prayer, and they go through their things. And Elijah sort of taunted them. They said, maybe Baal's asleep, or maybe he's gone on a trip. He didn't answer, and they cut themselves, and they harmed themselves physically. No answer. My friend, there's no answer from anything and anyone except the God of heaven. So they were praying to an idol that had no ears to hear, had no eyes to see, had no mouth to speak, had no power to perform. And they were praying all day long. And it comes at the evening time where we read of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, he repaired the sacrifice, the altar, and he prays this short prayer. And he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." The reason for that and the purpose of this prayer is given here, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And that word Lord there is all capital letters, L-O-R-D. And it's the word that is for Jehovah. Thou art Jehovah. Thank God tonight we know who he is, and we can pray to him, and he answers our prayer. He may not answer by fire as he did in this particular time. He may not answer by some miraculous thing that everybody can see, but we know when God answers our prayer. We know when God speaks to our heart and God gives to us the understanding that everything's going to be okay. And so the prayer came down from God out of heaven, and this powerful prayer that Elijah prayed. Heaven was moved. God heard and God spoke. God had shut up heaven for those 3 years and 6 months because God told Elijah what was going to take place. Elijah prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. Can you imagine what a country would look like after 3 years and 6 months of no rain, no moisture, no dew? Everything was barren. Everything was dead. Everything was dry, for there was no water. For you see, the water is a type of the water of life. If you don't have water, you're not going to have life. You're not going to have vegetation. If you don't have water in your body, you're going to die. And if you don't have the water of life, which is Jesus Christ, you're going to die spiritually without him forever and forever without God. So heaven was moved when Elijah prayed, and he said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel." Elijah said, "God, would you not prove who you are to these people?" What a powerful prayer. God manifested his power. Elijah's prayer magnified God, and so therefore God gave the answer, and the fire of God fell down from heaven and consumed everything that was there at the altar. All the water that had been put on it, Elijah wanted to make sure they couldn't blame him or accuse him of doing some trickery. And so he had much water, that which was very precious in those days because they were in the midst of a famine. And he has water poured on the sacrifice, and it's drenched, it's soaked, and the trench around it is full, and the water's running out. And God sent down fire from heaven. It licked up the water, it licked up the dust that had been mud. It licked up the rocks and consumed the altar, and God proved who he was. No wonder he's mentioned in the New Testament as a fervent prayer warrior. The effectual fervent prayer, thank God, receives the answer from the Lord. God was moved toward man, and he proved himself to that generation as to who he was. Elijah prayed, and it rained not. Elijah prayed, and the fire fell. And then shortly after that, Elijah prays, and there's water on the earth. Thank God for the prayer of a righteous person. Here we find is a test of who truly is God. Is it Baal? If it's Baal, then let's see him answer. They set the rules. They set the way of the answer, who we would serve. And they said, whoever answers by fire, we'll serve. And Elijah said, that's fine. For you know, Elijah already knew that God was going to answer his prayer. This was a test to prove to a generation of Israelites that had long forsaken the Lord that there is a God in heaven. You and I tonight, we must understand, we must realize, even though we live amidst and a group of among a lot of people that no longer care about God, no longer desire to hear about God, no longer want to talk about God, but one of these days they're going to know who God really is. One of these days they're going to stand before him. The Bible says, every knee shall bow. Every atheist that says there is no God, one day he'll bow toward that one that is God. Every person that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, one day every knee shall bow. And then the Bible says every tongue or every mouth is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Thank God tonight we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. Now you can talk about God all you want to around people and they don't get too upset. But when you interject the name of Jesus Christ, then you stir a problem. It's all right to have your prayer, but don't end it in the name of Jesus. You ever wonder why that? Because at his name, the wicked rebel against him. It's all right to pray to your God. And when you pray and you end it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they raise up all their fangs and their problems and they begin to fight against you because we don't want him. Just like Israel said, we'll not have him rule over us. Well, one of these days, every person that's rejected, every person that's rebelled, every person that has rebuked God and turned their back upon God, one day they shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Elijah here prayed, and God answered his prayer. The product of that is showing the foolishness of the world. It showed those prophets of Baal how out of touch they were with who they were and what they needed. It showed all that crowd that was watching that there was a God in heaven. And that was the whole point of Elijah praying to God, says, Lord, that they may know, that they may know that there is a God in Israel, that they may know, O Lord, Jehovah, that they may know that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew who Abraham was. They knew who Jacob was. They knew who Isaac was, but they didn't know who God was. You know all the details about the Bible, but if you don't know the Lord, you've lost out on eternity. May God help us tonight to know not only who Jesus is and some things about him, but may we know him in our heart and in our life. The falseness of Baal was displayed. Baal could not answer. Baal could not do. Baal could not send fire because Baal was just a figment of their imagination. We are told today that as a believer, we are archaic and we're unlearned and we don't know too much and we're not too smart as far as the world is concerned. I'll tell you what, you can have all those things said about you, but if you know Jesus Christ, that's the main thing. Thank God one day I met him. Thank God you that are listening, probably you met him. If you're listening and you have not met him, I'm glad tonight you could do that. I'm glad you could come and realize that it's not some God out there that we cannot reach. It's not some God that doesn't care. You know, if you study the religions of the world, you'll find that most people are afraid of their gods. They do things to appease their God. They do things to make sure their God's not angry with them. Oh, our God, you don't have to worry about him. He's angry with the wicked every day. But for you and I that are a child of God, he loves us. He's concerned about us. He wants to help us, and he's faithful to us. Elijah, a man that fervently prayed, that God answered his prayer, that God gave him the answer, and all of Israel realized there is a God in heaven. You and I tonight, we live in a world that's a wicked place, that denies righteousness and holiness. They deny the word of God. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to reveal himself to them, and they will say, Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus, not some other person, but that Jesus is the Son of God. May God help us to be faithful and true under the calling that the Lord gives to us. May we be like Elijah, to pray fervently, and may God answer our prayer. There's times that, like I said last Wednesday, sometimes we think God doesn't hear us, but he does. Sometimes we think God's not going to answer us, but he will. God has his time. God has his place. God has his way. And it's always on time, right place, and always true and correct and good for us. May the Lord help us tonight to pray and move heaven. Do you know somebody that's lost? Do you know somebody that really you do not believe they're a Christian? I believe we can move heaven for them. I believe we can cry out to God and pray for them, that the Lord would open their heart, that they might see and believe, that they might understand that they need a work of the Lord in their heart. It may be one of your family members. It may be many of your family members, like probably all of us. We need to pray for our families. Pray for those that need the Lord, and pray that God would help them. Maybe it's not a relative, but just a friend, and they know not God. Best thing you can do for them is to pray for them and ask God to open their heart, that they might come to know him as a personal Savior. The Lord bless you tonight. I pray God bless his word, and pray that he will use it in our life, that we can serve him in these days in which we live. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thank you tonight for your love upon us. Thank you for the moving of the Spirit of God upon our life one day, and we came to know and to realize that there was a God in heaven. We came to understand that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood, to give his life, that I might have life. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, help us to pray in such a way that those around us would know that there is a God in heaven. Help us, Lord, to magnify him and to show him to a lost and dying world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Our prayers are with you.